Last week we left off at about being saved. What should I do about being saved? And once again, we're just recapping on the last 18 weeks or 18 lessons that we've been through, and we're recapping the number. Recapping. Sorry, guys. What must I do to be saved? And let me ask you guys something about this. The contents of your faith is extremely important. Do you agree or disagree? The contents of your faith, okay, because you can put your faith and trust in a lot of things, can't you? And we know a lot of people that does. Then people put in church membership, they put in a baptism, and whether it's water sprinkled or poured or whatever, that a lot of people put it in a lot of their faith and the contents of the faith to be saved. But what do you put your faith in? What do you put your contents of your faith? You know, so this is very, very important at this stage in being ambassadors, because I'm telling you something. I shared with a couple men here earlier that one of our friends is slowly turning to be a universalist. And he goes, "What's a universalist, Ed?" Well, if you don't know what a universalism is the fact that it doesn't matter who is lost or who is saved, don't matter what you do, when it's all said and done, God's going to reconcile you back to Him. And all means all. Okay, and this is very, very disturbing, okay, because he's taking the Bible to be all. When Paul talks about all is reconciled and all, who's Paul talking about when he writes his books? The believers. Well, you're part of that all if you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. But think about this. Why would you have to be saved? Why would you have to believe that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again if God, no matter what you do or what you say, or even Satan's going to be reconciled back to God? You know, many of you are shaking your heads right now, but the guy's talking about, "Ed, wake up. Open your eyes. Believe the verses." I'm like, I'm believing the verses. In the context.
And God doesn't create anything for waste, so He didn't create hell for nothing. That's what it would mean.
So the contents of your faith, it's very, very important to, where do you find the gospel out, guys? Talk with me a little bit. In the scriptures, amen. It's not through emotions, it's not written on a billboard. You can get saved by tract, can't we? You know, you can have the gospel tract and hand it to somebody and be saved. But where do you find the gospel that saves you today? Give me a verse, give me a chapter, give me a book. She's saying 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because these are some very, very important questions along with being an ambassador. Hey, Jesus Christ left you here for one reason once you got saved and you trust that He died and buried and rose again. And that's to be a representative of Him. That's to let people know why He is absent. You know, He is in royal exile right now. Y'all understand that? He's not tucked away in a little corner somewhere, hidden, afraid to come out. Got rejected by the world. No, He's in royal exile. He's up there with God the Father, okay? And is in the presence of God Almighty. And, you know, you got to believe, what must I do to be saved? You know, Acts 16, this was a question, wasn't it? And what did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall be what? Be saved, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15... verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren. I love this because, moreover than chapter 12. Moreover than chapter 13. Moreover than chapter 14. And you know what goes on in there about the women, about prophecy, about tongues, about all this stuff. But I love this word right here. Moreover, and this is how I look at it. You guys look at it any way you want to look at it. But moreover than that, I declare unto you, the gospel which I preached in you, which also you received and wherein you stand. Okay? The gospel? What gospel? Didn't last week we looked at two different gospels? The gospel of the... and the gospel of the uncircumcision. Okay? Two gospels there. Then you have the gospel of the kingdom. You got a gospel of the grace of God. You got a gospel of... you got an everlasting gospel. and got the gospel of Christ, got the gospel of God. We looked at all those things last week, or recapped on a lot of those things. But the gospel, which I preached unto you, and which also ye received, and where ye stand. He preached it, you received it, and guess what? You stand in it. Okay? These are military terms, if you don't mind me saying. The fact that you, when you get an order and you get charged, and as we go through the ambassadorship in a couple of weeks, you'll find out what he tells Timothy. You'll find out about the we call them pastoral epistles, you know, but he charges you, charges this assembly, charges us, and that's a charge. That's a command. That's a commencement, if you will. Don't we do commencement speeches at graduation and all? But he charged, and you stand in it. And what do we find out about some things about being unmovable, right? Be not children tossed to and fro. Okay? I love when Paul talks about, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We know people right now that are saved, but they're still childish, aren't they? You may look at me sometimes and say, Ed, grow up. You know what I mean? Come on now. Look at me. That's right. And that's the progressiveness as you learn through, as Paul learned it, we learned it. And that's why when we first started our church, in fact, this is our foundation month, if you will. Next week will be our 6 years, yeah. 6 years of foundational week. And the fact is that we start out in Romans. Okay, that's your first book of doctrine, isn't it? That was for the body of Christ. It's not the first one he wrote, but as we started out in Romans, we got a foundation. And as we moved from Romans and we went into Ephesians, we was growing as Paul was growing. See? And as time you get in Ephesians, you understand some mystery truths that Paul didn't explain down here in Romans. You know, this is something we can grow and learn, and you don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, I don't know what to say or do. Right here it is. Just take your time. God the Holy Spirit is teaching you. You have the words. Just look at it. Just look at it. But look, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory, which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. Keep in where? What if I asked you, what do you trust to get saved today? What should be in your memory banks right now? Jesus Christ. That's it. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection. Hey, look at this. Verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Hey, Paul ain't just making this stuff up. You know, just to create. You know, back in the first part of this chapter, some say of Apollos, some say Paul, some say Cephas. No, he got his from who?
Christ.
Where at?
Risen, glorified Lord.
Oh, revelation of Jesus, but where at? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No, where at?
Directly.
What part of the books I'm talking about?
Okay.
In the book of Acts. Okay, very good. Okay, he did not get it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, in the first part of Acts, he had threatening letters, didn't he? We find out. He was cruel. Hey, men, women, and children, if you use the name Jesus Christ, Paul had a number for you. And he took you. He, remember last week we looked at the fact that he profited in the Jews' religion? Remember that? He was making money from doing that. But look, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's clear, isn't it? He didn't make it up. According to Scriptures. And that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the
Scriptures.
Okay, the death, burial, and resurrection. Hold your finger and go 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I know we're in a recapping stage, but when I get emails about some things, you know, about the guy saying it doesn't matter, lost people and Satan are going to be reconciled back to God, That bothers me. Because why in the world would you want to preach? Why would you want to believe anything that, but when it's all said and done, God's going to reconcile you?
Why would Christ have to die?
Why would Christ have to die? You know?
Why would you have to pray for your loved
one? You know, this is very, very serious that there's people out there, and I'm standing on the words of Paul, when, through the word of God, through a word of Paul, and as we advance through this, you'll find out that all of Asia has forsaken me. Okay? You'll find out that every church that Paul started is already in apostasy, if I pronounce that right, before he even got out of the city, probably, in many cases. You know? So just don't be surprised that people are falling off. The thing is, you have to stand. Okay? And it's going to be tough. Believe me, I've been in the battles. My family's been in the battles. And many of you have been in the battles. We have name calls. We have people write at us, write things about us, curse us, everything. But we still stand. And there's a battle there. But that's why it's individual. You have to make that decision, okay? I can't do it for you. That's why I'm very pleased that when I turn around, you're here. You know, even after our business meeting last week. But think about this. Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealous, for I have espoused you to one husband, that he may present you as a chastened virgin to Christ. But I fear. See? I fear. You fear. Right? Fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted by the simplicity that is in what? From the simplicity. The simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of Christ. It wasn't simple to him, guys, gals. You know that. Blood popping out of his forehead. You know, he beaten them beyond recognition. It wasn't simple for him. It wasn't easy for him. Didn't he say, Father, you know, about the cup? Yeah, because he looked in that cup and he seen the fury of God, what God was going to do to this world. And if you do the studies on the cup of fury, it would make you sick, knowing that what God's going to do and what he did through Jesus Christ to take that away for us. So if he took that away from us, and then you put your trust in that, why in the world would, if you don't trust it, you know, it's just mind-boggling. The terminology and the wisdom of words that we fail when we're presenting the gospel. So that's why this, we'll take the next few minutes or so talking about a clear gospel. Understand in your heart and how you share it, because it does mean something. You know, you're in business and you make a cold call. It means very, very important what you say and how you present yourself, doesn't it? You know, otherwise they're like, no. We did that a little bit yesterday on some things. But look, the fail to provide an adequate basis of your faith. What does Romans chapter 3 says? Go to Romans chapter 3. You got to know how to state the gospel clearly to the souls of the unbelievers, because this is big. You know how it is when you sell something. Many of you in here are salesmen. Been salesmen all your life. I don't like that field. But when it comes to the gospel, you still have to say it, present it clearly enough to where they have, you know, any questions and stuff. Because once you do, this is where Satan starts to come in. You know, you think it's okay, and then all of a sudden, boom, the crunch time. What do I say next? Because I know many of us right now, the last thing we want to look at a loved one or sit down beside somebody and say, hey, you know what you trust in to get to heaven? That's hard, isn't it? It really is. But look, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, how many is all? Okay, what's the glory of God? It's up here, isn't it?
Perfection.
Okay? All have sinned and come short. Sin is anything short of the glory of God. All. And we know now the fact that, hey, if you don't think you had a problem, I know I do. Or did. You know, I sinned. I was a sinner in God's eyes, and I've got a problem. And then verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in who? Okay, God's got a solution that it's redemption that is in who? Not in me. Not in church membership. Not in works.
Not in water.
Not in water. Not in tithing. What's the contents of your faith? What are you putting your trust in? See, I know many of y'all's testimonies. I know you're saved, but the thing is, what we need to do is understand what we're here for and what we need to do if somebody asks us. Because I know it's on your hearts and minds when you know, little Eddie's down there and you know, he might not be saved, but I want to reach him. You don't call me up to go talk with him. You can do it yourself. I'll go with you. But you can do it. And it's exciting that you can do it. You know what I mean? Because when you see somebody walk from go from death to life, right in front of your eyes, just like a baby being born. You know what I mean? You see a baby being born and it had life. It wasn't dead. You know, I'm going to say it wasn't dead, but it was life. And it brought excitement to some of you. Some are like, oh my God. You know, but anyway, it's excitement. It's life. Hold that thought. We'll go right down through there in just a second. We're getting there. Verse 25. In whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, thank you, through the faith in His
blood.
Okay? That's our responsibility. You put your faith in the blood. You don't put your faith in works. This is very, very important to know the contents of the faith. That's why it's very, very important to have a clear gospel. Okay? The faith in the gospel is what saves you. Most commonly confused gospel invitations is what was wanting to know is the unbeliever are, give your heart to Jesus. I'm not going to go completely back through all this stuff. We did already, but I'll just quickly go down through there. Open the door. And let Jesus come into your life. Okay? Surrender all to Jesus. That's works. If I could surrender all to Jesus before I trusted Him, why would I need to trust anything? Here's something else. Confess your sins and ask God to forgive you. Hey, I was brought up in the fact that you confess your sins, okay? I lay down my head. At night, I said, Father, forgive me, for I had done this. Right? And wake up and continue it. I don't know if you ever... I've done that. You know? But what if you know, if He's faithful to... What's it say? Faithful and just to forgive you.
All sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Okay. Okay. What if you don't confess your sins? And you miss one? Isn't He still faithful and just to forgive you? Yes, He is. That's why confession is really they're not studying it out in a way that you do confess a lot of things. When I trust Christ died for my sins and buried and rose again, I confessed with my heart and my tongue, if it will, that I trusted that. I confessed that. But what about a deaf person? How does a deaf person hear the gospel? Okay?
Braille.
But it's right here where they get it. They can see it. They can understand it. But right here, it's a heart condition. Look, turn from your sins and receive Christ. Many of you are like, oh man, you probably heard that 19,000 times.
Turn or burn.
Turn or burn. Look, if you can turn from your sins, why would you need Christ?
Right.
Hey, these universalists might jump on that one. Pray the sinner's prayer. These are works things, okay? Works things. I always listen to those sinner's prayers because I can't find it in the Bible. You know, I really can't. You believe to be saved. You believe to do. There's nothing you can ever do to please God in your own strength. These are what the unbeliever needs to hear. You know, the terminology are cute, catchy phrases, you know, but that still you got to give a clear gospel. And sometimes it's hard to look somebody in the eye. You know you're going to go to hell if you die. If you don't trust Christ to die for your sins, bury and rose again. You know, them are hard situations. You know, I know there's a lot of preachers out there. That's why they have revivals. Hey, what would you need to be revived here? You're not dead, are you? You know what I mean? Revival is to revive somebody that's been dead. Shock them, right? Okay. You know, but anyway, you know, you can have preaching, you can have all that stuff and have meetings and conferences. It is God's responsibility to convince and convict a person that he needs his need of a Savior. It is our responsibility to present a clear plan and accurate gospel presentation. We should not confuse anybody. You just keep it to the book, keep it to the verses. And you can talk, because if you confuse it, then it's not clear, is it? And once you, see, it's just our responsibility to read it off the page, and you guys have been there, and I've been there. You show them right where the Word of God is, and they turn around and say, that's what you say. After you just read it from God's Word. I'm like, no, it's not. It's what God says. You know, so it's very, very clear to have the Word of God. And you can have it in here, you can have it up here, and you can share some things. But it's also, you better have some verses. You know, because the fact is, I'm a word man, or try to be. You better come with me some verses. I can listen to all this stuff about universalism, okay? And the verses here, and I can study them out, but my mind is clear the fact that what I know what God is doing for the believer and what God is doing for the unbeliever. And God does not send anybody to hell. You make that choice. And the verses he keeps saying, well, it's God's will. It's God's will to have all men to be saved. We know that. But is all men going to be saved, people? How many people have you go to that you're in business with that says, and you say, sign the line. Out of 100 people, what's the percentage that they're going to get?
25-30%.
Okay. Not all. So, in your mind, all are not going to sign the line. You know that. But all you have to do is present the gospel, isn't it? Let the Word of God convict their hearts. That upsets me. When we get a little bit further, we'll break this down, okay? About how he thinks. It's upsetting. It really is upsetting. But understand that the cross of Jesus Christ and all that was accomplished, there is a historical, documented, and actual event that took place. How many, what's his name? Josh McDowell? McDowell? Yeah. Josh McDowell, he wrote a book.
Evidence that demands a verdict.
Yeah. Evidence that demands a verdict. Anybody have heard that? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he was a lawyer to go out to prove that that Christ did not die, he didn't exist. And how he studied this out, he wrote a book that thick, which I got on my, thanks to Walt, got on my library over there. That he says it was a documented event. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So as you talk with these people and they're denying and they're using their own man's wisdom, as you just showed them in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 we read, but also verse 5 says, and that it was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. You with me? After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some of our fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then all of his all the apostles. At last of all, he was seen of me also as one who was born out of due time. Paul thought he was born out of due time to do see all this stuff. But don't he say, I'm a due time testator? In due time, God revealed to Paul that he is the testator to testify what God is doing. But those eight verses right there, you can hold that up in a court of law. Wouldn't you, if you was in trouble, something, wouldn't you like to have 500 brothers seeing you at one time? No. You was down here. 500 brethren see me over here. Those are facts, people. Facts. And sometimes people want to hear facts, don't they? But when it was all said and done, they'll, even if you show them the facts, they're like, nope, not at all. You drive the unbeliever to the cross. And that's what he trusted in. You stress the issue. It's not feelings and experiences and et cetera. Boy, they like to feel things. They get on that TV. TV's full of that stuff. You can scan the TV anytime and see preaching upon preaching and on preaching. Your radio airways are full of it. Your internet ministries are full of it. Yeah. Think about this. A couple weeks ago we talked about, in the name of Jesus, that gun won't fire or go off or whatever it said. It went off and killed the guy. You know, he said it twice in the name of Jesus, and we know the couple, the people that was with, and it horrifies me to believe that.
They teach it,
you know, and all that. I mean, it's just sad. Keep the verses. The verses are used to teach, you know, salvation clear. We looked at lordship salvation. You know, is making a deal with God to trust His Son. You know, let me share this with you, and you probably already know it. Whether you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or whether you make Him Lord or not, He is Lord. Whether you want to believe it or not. And this guy here talks about, well, how can all the knees bow and all, you know, if unless the Holy Spirit's convicting you, you can't call Jesus Lord. You know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Because the Holy Spirit convicted you and you trust that He's Lord. He's Lord of Lord whether you trust Him the Lord or not. And if you're dying in hell and going to hell, He's going to be Lord anyway. And you'll bow your knees down there and acknowledge He's Lord. Because we're talking about, you know, when you're in hell, it's just not the grave. The guy says it's the grave. You know, this is not new stuff, by the way. Okay? This is old pagan worship stuff, Satanism and all that. Clear. Don't fall for that stuff. You know what it can be? Fascinating. It can say, wow, I've never seen that before. Wow, he's teaching me something. When people gets away from the message of Paul and how to rightly divide Paul's message, then guess what? You'll fall for any doctrine out there. Many of you sitting in here today have come out with that stuff. You can realize. Brother Overt said, hey, if I may use the term, I think he said he would hang me or something if I ever took him back to another church that didn't preach the same thing. You know, and he's sitting here giggling now. He's serious. You know why? Because the fact is, he come out of that stuff. He don't want to go back in that. You know, years ago I used to think of maybe that's the groups to go visit churches. You know, and just see what they do and take notes. And many are like, no, I come out of that stuff.
It's like an alcoholic going to the bar to see, what are they doing in there?
Yeah.
Okay,
you included all. Okay, all right. But the thing is, you know, you come out of that stuff.
You know what? The thing of it is, though, even in all the advertising that's going on right now, in case anybody hasn't noticed, all the Greek mythology and all the gods, pray to the gods. That's what everything is on TV now.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
It is. And it's just the worship thing. And we talk about, we jokingly kid here because we usually just have one song and a prayer, and we get in the message. In most traditional churches, you got 15 to 20 minutes worth of worship songs,
20 minutes of announcements,
and then 15 minutes, 18 minutes worth of preaching, and they're like this if he goes past the time, you know, and it's sad, and you know sometimes we do two songs, you know, just to rub you wrong every once in a while. I'm just joking, but you know how grace works, how the grace works in the life of the believer. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and Romans 6 and Galatians 3. Romans 6 and Galatians 3. Many of you may have this in your notes, but I'm not doing this to reaffirm my faith. I'm just sharing some things. Hey, you're going to be faced with some things out there, and you already are, many of us. You know, we thought people believed this or didn't believe it, and find out they're really out there, and it really hurts. It really hurts to see that I have to add another guy that I was in a ministry with or worked with or whatever to a list of people that no longer believes the simplicity of Paul's gospel.
But he's still saved.
Yeah, but that to me right now is a cop-out. You know, because whether you're still saved or not, he's out of the battle. He's ineffective.
He's the enemy of the cross.
He's no longer preaching what's supposed to be preaching to have the justification and simplicity and liberty. You know, and that hurts. It really does. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3.
You know that man over in Iran? Iranian. He's a preacher. They asked him three times at a night Christ. He wouldn't do it. He's going to die.
Did he kill him yet?
Not yet.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? It's a question there. Which is it, guys? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? So your contents of your faith is very, very important, okay? Because you can hear some law over here and you can base some things of your faith in that, can't you? But he goes on to say, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now made perfect by the flesh? These people, these Galatians, got saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. And they turned into a works program, okay, basing their salvation. And Paul's like, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's tricked you? You know, who has tricked you? And that's so, we know that, don't we? We know, hey, we was tricked from the beginning, and I hope you know now by studying your Bible and understanding some rightly dividing and basing your belief in what God is doing through the dispensation of grace, you're not going to get tricked again. But you can. You can very, very easily. This preacher up here can make you so mad that you're not coming back and you're going to go back down in the law system.
We can merit God's grace by our actions and behavior.
That's right.
That was kind of the flip flop there that Galatians were doing.
That was going back.
Not what he did for you completely and your faith in that. It's what you need to do to deserve God's free gift. To earn it. It's a contradiction.
And that's what Satan likes that. Oh, it's okay that you trust Christ died for your sins and bury run, but you have to do this. Go back under a works program. That's why he's saying, have you begun in the Spirit? You know, the works of law? Have you begun there? Didn't we read that Paul espoused you to one father, to one husband, Christ Jesus? See? Not many. Yes, sir.
That's the works program. I think it really feeds your own ego,
right,
your pride, and your arrogance. It's what it feeds. And that's why it's so easy for man to do that.
because under the grace system, to me, again, as I see it, it's pure appreciation. I tell people, I used to do things. I didn't think of it that way. I used to do things in the church to try to earn.
Yeah.
Because I had to earn.
Get pleasure.
So now, when I do, anybody who knows, I know right up front, hey, I'm not, nothing good comes from me. If I do anything, it's only because I appreciate what the Lord did for me.
Amen. And that's what God wants. That's the dedication back to Him. That's the sacrifice. Make yourself holy and blameable and a living sacrifice. And you do it out of appreciation of Him, because why? He did it for you. And that's it.
You're not motivated to be saved or to save, keep your salvation. You're motivated because you want to bear fruit for Christ.
And there's a lot of us right now want to do so much for the ministry. We really do. We want to do bountiful everything what God did in the minute. But you know, sometimes we can't do it ourselves. And I'm faced with some things at the school that we're at. The fact that I can't do it, you can't do it, but we can do it. See, and that's how God. That's why God works through you and through the work. He would appreciate, and the ministry appreciate the good works that you do. So don't think that you don't do anything, for one thing, because you do. You know, whatever it is, it's for the work of the ministry, and that's the appreciation. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse and stay in Galatians chapter 2. Romans chapter 6. Verse 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye shall obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness, as sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are as instruments of righteousness of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
Under grace. Sin shall not run us because we're governed by what?
Grace.
There you go. Grace is what governs us. Grace is what allows us. But you know something, if you don't understand that and appreciate that, then you ignore it and you allow law to do that, don't you? I think it's our human nature that we automatically want to do those things under the law. Not understanding, when somebody gives you a gift, what's the first thing you... Well, a lot of times when you give me a gift, you know what I ask? What I owe you?
Do I really deserve it?
I really do. You know,
do you automatically feel like at some point in time you have to pay that person back, whether it is, mm-hmm. you know, now I know.
He did something for me, so I'm going to have to scratch your back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of times I look at those things and, you know, I had to stop that. You know, I'd say, you know something, somebody's going to give me something, it's by grace. I really have. Man, I drove 600 miles places. They asked me to come and preach and stuff like that, and barely had enough gas money to get there and back. And they took up offering. I said, no, man, you just keep that. Just keep that. You put it back in your ministry. And going up the road, after I did, I would like scratch my head like, oh my gosh. You know, what did I just do? Now we're going to next week's paycheck. You know what I mean? You know, so many of you do that too. And it's just weird, because Satan's goal against the believer is to have them to go back under that law system. That's sad. And you know, we know our children's growing up, and we know they want to become adults. We know that the things changing, things, but we still put them under a law system, don't we? Even your grandbabies, you put them under a law system sometimes. You're not going to do that in here. And maybe your children goes, when you get over grandma's and grandpa's, you can't act like this. You know, they put them under a system and stuff. But that's something totally different. But yet, you understand the principles of that. Go back to Galatians chapter 2. Because the law does the same thing for, you know, when we look at some things having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect? In order for us to be saved, in order to be saved, you have to do by faith, do what? In order to be saved, you had to by faith do or nothing. Nothing for the works. Okay? Now that you're saved, don't go back under law and performance-based system, because the law does the same thing to a believer as it does the unbeliever. The law points and says what? Guilty, 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 guilty. No, and that's why these religious systems, they say, hey, you know, they get you saved, but they have you coming up here every week like cattle. You know, just come on. How many did you get baptized today?
Need to do a little better.
How many church? How many you got in your members? How many church members you got in your church? I hope you guys say millions, because there's only one church that's the body of Christ. Are you in my church? That's what I would say. You know, are you in my church? Sir?
And sometimes you wish that nobody was in those churches because of what they're teaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just wondering sometimes when a lot of people go to church because they've been asked, come hear my preacher, we got a great Sunday school class type of thing, and not one time do they say, have you trusted Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again? You know what I mean? That's your responsibility. But we've been by habit, come and go with me. And you sit there on that back row with 15 people and smile, and look what I did for the preacher today.
My salvation is in your hands. I don't have to worry about whatever you tell me.
That's what people think. Exactly.
Well, some people go to church
today. I don't have to waste my time anymore, because next Sunday when I come back, then you pick up your 20-minute little version there and make me feel good for another week.
Mm-hmm. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 19.
I showed up and threw some money in the basket. Surely
what's that? You're good for another week. We're going to start a midweek service too. So, be back here in a couple hours for Sunday night. Look, verse 19, chapter 2, verse 19. Through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto who? I'm dead to the law. I'm dead. You know, it condemns you and points out that you're a sinner to the believer and unbeliever. The law was a schoolmaster to bring you to who?
Christ.
Okay? Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of who? Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You got that? Whose life? Christ's life. Who living in who? Us, right? Okay. I do not, verse 21, here's a great verse. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead. It's what? Vain.
Amen.
Man, if there was ever a righteousness that ever came with that law, Christ died in vain. For nothing. So that law never did, ever did for the nation Israel, for you, ever give you righteousness. You know what that law did? I'm standing over here. You know what that law did? It separated them from other parts of people. It's almost like a sanctification. You do this, and you're separated from other parts of people.
But it could puff you up if you thought that you could, you know, do anything above the law, and that you were a good citizen, and that you did everything that you were supposed to do. You can't help but feed the flesh.
We know the law principles, if-then basis. If you do this, then you get this. The grace is a love. It's a freedom. If not, then you get to curse us. We know that's the principles. We tell our kids like that all the time. Think about it. If you do this, right? You know, sometimes if they don't, we still give them what they... We still let them play video games or go out to the movies or... You know what I mean? Think about the grace that we even give our kids.
The law gave the Jews a big spanking a lot of
them. That's right.
Well, we don't want it.
And that's exactly when we tell our kids, if you do this, you can have this, and you'll see sometime they'll go through the house of whirlwind, won't they? Anything else I can do? Looking at that watch, knowing that we'll get out of here, then they say, if you don't, then you're going to get the spanking. The spanking. Grace, I'm getting ready to wrap up. Grace, yes, sir. Somebody had a question? Grace says, look at the cross and see how much God loves you. That's a picture that we should paint to people. You know how much God loves me? I have to look at Calvary. I don't look at my wife. You know, I look at Calvary. That's how much God loves me. That he gave it as a free gift. And we was talking earlier about that's why we just don't understand that grace is something already given to you up front. You only find that through Paul's epistles, don't you? You don't have to work for it. It's an unmerited favor. And sometimes it's just for us hard to understand that, God, I know that, but I've got to give you back something. Selfness, right? And then grace is the motivational power of God in the believer's life. Okay? As you understand, the love of God has an impact you and for your service. That's why the love of Christ constrains us in 2 Corinthians. It constrains us to do things. Man, I tell you what, I've really changed in the last 5 or 6 years. If y'all know me a little bit before that, you might think I was the same Ed and out, you know, way I present myself, but way I'm working and way I'm dealing with people now is different than it was 5 years ago, where it was 10 years ago. And you know for a fact, this message has changed your life, hasn't it? In all aspects, you look at things differently. You know, you respond to things differently. Now, still, don't you do that type of thing. I still get angry. I get upset. You know, but sometimes when I do, I sit back thinking, okay, what's the best response for that? And that's what as we're looking down through there, we're looking at the Spirit working in us and being a word of truth. And Hebrews, the Word of God is powerful and alive. I'm going a little fast here. So, you know, these are some lessons that we've had. And how the Holy Spirit travels indirectly to the believer. Indirectly to the believer, but through what? Got it? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes through this Word right then directly into you. This Word is powerful. And it reads you. That's why people don't like it. You know, I look at it sometimes like, whoa, oh my gosh, Lord, you just nailed me. You know? But the thing about this, when we're getting ready to close, I'll just mention that in Ephesians chapter 3 about the strengthening with might by His Spirit. We looked at the motivation as you understand some things. We went down through Colossians chapter 1 and we broke that down as far as two sections in that. If you remember, the twofold purpose of our ambassadorship. Paul explains how he ministers to take the gospel and preach it to every creature, a peace through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ to the lost. That's our responsibility. You know, that's why this message is not a this message is a mobile message.
It's a what?
It's a mobile. You know, like it keeps moving, keep going, keep it going. You know, keep it moving. It builds. It builds on the right doctrine. The power of grace acknowledges the dispensation of truths. You know, you got to understand the dispensation. When a believer understands the dispensation of grace, When you understand the dispensation of grace, that's what? I'm pointing up here in my head.
Wisdom.
Mind or wisdom or
knowledge.
When a believer understands what God is doing in a dispensation of grace, you get the knowledge. It continues by faith to acknowledge the doctrine. Okay? You get the knowledge. And then we looked, I mentioned last week a little bit, there's always been acts of grace, but never a dispensation of grace until you got to Paul. That's why a lot of people don't understand that God is dispensing grace. And they can't divide between an act of grace. Y'all show me grace every Sunday. You know what I mean? Yeah, people show us grace when you talk with people sometimes. We show them grace. That's acts of grace. But we're in a dispensation of grace that God, that's all He's doing is dispensing grace. Dispensing grace. And you think of that as a father to our children. It's hard, isn't it? But God Almighty can do it. Because He's a lot more powerful than you and I are, is, right? Then God energized the truth of the doctrine in a believer, which will produce fruit to God's glory. That's empowerment. Okay? We went over that stuff, but there's sometimes things you need to recap in your mind, like, praise God for another day of grace. Sometimes I'll wake up after going through a day or a night, a stormy, you know, in your life or that type of thing, and you wake up and you wake up to another day. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, just get me through this day. You know, say the right things. Let me do this, do that. And it changes you. Yeah, because, you know, right now, many of us wake up, it's dark. You turn around before you go to bed, it's dark. I looked at my watch the other day at 7:50 p.m., it was dark. Winter's coming, fall's coming. I'm like, where's the time at? I don't like dark. You know, bad things happen in the dark. That's why you should be light, right? Father, we do thank You for the day, and we thank You for things You've given us. And Lord, as we continue our messages and lessons through ambassadorship, let us be mindful of a lost and dying world that they do need to hear the gospel of the grace of God from us, from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.